science.
She blinded me with science. But she blinded me with
science.
She blinded me with science.
And with that rather fabulous, amazing intro, it is time again for Twist This Week in Science. Today, Jesse Hawley from the CSIRO joins us. How are you, mate?
Good morning, good morning. I'm really well.
That's the way. What's been making science news this week?
We have microbes and how they're a good indicator of when an ecosystem's been restored.
Right.
And also Neanderthal tooth gunk.
Wow.
Did you hear that story? It was a big one.
Okay, I look forward to that one.
Yeah, I'll put it second.
So okay.
We'll
tease us.
Best to the last, just cool. Like the tooth bark.
So microbes.
Microbes.
What's a microbe?
A microbe is an organism that's too small to see with the naked eye.
Okay. So anything that falls under that.
Yeah.
So someone with bad vision, an ant is a microbe.
Yes, or a toddler.
Or a pedestrian if you've got a badly designed car.
Yeah. So bacteria, fungi, whatnot. So researchers from the University of Adelaide did a paper in Molecular Ecology about when a development has happened, like an open cut mine or a building or for farmland, you need to destroy the ecosystem and nature in order to make way for people.
Yeah.
And now, because we're like, oh, that's not too sustainable, and we can only do it for so long, they do it on the grounds that it's going to be fixed when they're finished doing it. And it's very
under the proviso that you clean it back up once you're done.
I know, but it's very difficult to clean up nature. It's like digging a big hole under your apartment building or whatever and turning it upside down and just leaving it and walking away.
Mm-hmm.
It's often how it's done. So they have to be culpable and actually continue monitoring it to see if it's restored.
Right.
So what you've got, and one of the difficulties is actually measuring whether it has been restored back to its previous spot or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can look for big animals, like are birds here because they were here before.
Yep.
You could look for the trees, the same type of trees, but often they can take hundreds of years to get to the right state. So there's a lot of things going on to evaluate whether you're doing the right job.
Mm-hmm.
What's often overlooked
are the little guys.
They're literally overlooked. They can't be looked. Microbes. And microbes are the foundation of an ecosystem. They take stuff that everything needs and they make it available to be used. So plants can't utilize nitrogen in the atmosphere or carbon. So they need these microbes to be the conduit between a gas, so then it could be used in their roots and they can build more trees,
right, et
cetera. And that feeds through the whole ecosystem. So you need microorganisms for everything. And they're not really tested when an ecosystem is restored.
Right.
They just look for, grass is there, kangaroos are there, tick, job's done, we're out of here.
See you later.
Leaving a crummy job behind. So these researchers looked at a piece of land that's been grazed upon, I think, by cattle for 100 years.
Right.
And they use this technique, which is fundamental to a project. It's called high throughput amplicon sequencing of environmental DNA. So the important... It's called eDNA, but it doesn't even have a good acronym.
Wow. That's... Come on, science guys. You guys are usually better at this. Twist.
Get your...
Twist. It's, bang, catchy. You know exactly what it's all about.
Take a lesson for the pros. so this looks at the DNA of microbes in the soil in a certain ecosystem and looks at all the species there so it can tell you the biodiversity and if it's come back in. So they looked at this area that's been grazed on for 100 years. It's been 8 years ago it was restored, so it's had 8 years to try and recover in the hospital. They've looked at the DNA of the ecosystem.
But how did they know, sorry to interrupt you, but how did they know what microbes were in the soil 100 years ago before the grazing started?
Good question.
Ah, okay. You're building to that.
They actually develop reference profiles. So they go to other areas that weren't grazed upon.
Okay.
They get all around, they get an average, they get a gist of what it would have been like 100 years ago.
Okay.
And they looked at this landscape 8 years after it was restored, and lo and behold, it was the same as all the other ones around it.
Oh, wow.
That were native and have never been...
grazed upon.
Yes. Flipped over by man's hands. So this is a exciting prospect for a tool to be used in the future. Makes it more objective when you're trying to figure out if you've done a good job.
It's a very sort of matter of fact and...
Yeah, it is.
Finite.
The bacteria there, good. We've done an all right job at least.
There you go. Very interesting stuff. So microbes being used to measure if people are cleaning up after themselves.
Yeah.
Restoring the
They should do that when you finish at a rental property. You know, they clean up you got to do the carpet.
Now, we found, before you moved in, Mr. Hawley, we found 63 mites per square inch of
carpet. Can we please have it back to that state once you leave? we'll bring some people in.
Oh, wow.
We've got some mates.
Yeah. Now, Neanderthal teeth.
Yeah.
Neanderthal teeth gunk.
Yeah. Wow. Such a good memory. Can you see my reference in
there? I can't. No.
Well done.
I remember this time.
So this was a big one. It was almost exactly a week ago. Study published in Nature, they learned a lot about the plaque on Neanderthal teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So, plaque, what do you know about it?
It's the cover the kids' ears. It's just the shit on your teeth, isn't it?
Yeah, it's literally shit from bacteria. It's what they excrete.
Oh,
so you've got residual sugars in your saliva and all sorts of goodies, which is just a soup for them. And they love it and eat it.
Yeah.
And they make excrement, and normally that's just washed away.
Mm-hmm.
And they multiply, and they try and make their environment as convenient as they can for them, so it's like a nice,
mm-hmm.
safe place for them to eat the grime in your mouth. And they keep proliferating until they form a biofilm, which mm-hmm. We spoke about recently. It's like this mucousy layer where all bacteria attach to each other.
Yep.
And when that biofilm gets thick, sorry, that's plaque, this mm-hmm. biofilm.
Yeah, right.
A city of bacteria,
mm-hmm.
all holding hands. When that gets thick enough, the bacteria continue eating the stuff on your teeth, and their excrement can't escape,
mm-hmm.
and it turns into another byproduct, which eats away your teeth. That's how you get cavities.
That's, yeah, right.
So cavities is not cleaning up the biofilm, the bacteria mm-hmm. party. That's what plaque is. So not only plaque in its nature, or the biofilm, is like this, it's mucus, and it collects a whole bunch of stuff. It collects what you've been eating, like mm-hmm. literally food particles. It collects other bacteria and microbes get stuck in the plaque. Even when you exhale, you've got microorganisms in your lungs and through your system, and they get caught up, and it's just a big mess.
Wow.
Really. So researchers isolated the oldest piece of plaque and were able to get its DNA. Well, it's the oldest incidence of them getting DNA from plaque.
Yep.
It's not the oldest plaque.
It's the oldest that they've found so far.
It's the oldest that they've found so far, and that have been able to extract the DNA successfully.
Okay.
And there's a lot in there. So the plaque itself was...
So this is from the Neanderthal tooth?
Yeah, this is...
Neanderthal or Neanderthal? Yeah.
I think
we'll save that for another twist.
I read a whole article about this, but I can't remember. I think they're both legitimate.
Okay,
you
cool.
Say whatever you like. So I think Neander is like a place in Germany.
Oh, right.
And Thal is the valley, so that's where they found them first, I think.
Oh.
So I guess it depends. Maybe sometimes it's how wanky you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, so do you say France or France?
I say France, but...
Yeah, France.
France.
Bloody love a baguette, I do.
But anyway, Neanderthals.
Neanderthals.
Teeth.
It's pretty spectacular to imagine that it's another human, different species, just a cousin primate, living in Europe, redheads, a lot of them.
Really?
Yeah. They have a larger skull than us, presumably a larger brain.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought they had a smaller brain than us.
No, bigger. And this research shows just how sophisticated their lifestyles were.
And sorry, do we know how old the tooth was that they...
Yeah, between 42 and 50,000 years. So they actually took samples from four different people.
Oh, wow.
Two were Belgian Neanderthals and two were Spanish ones.
Right.
They were living in a cave. So they got four different people, and they were all eating different things, as you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
So the Belgians, they...
Chocolate?
Yeah. Man, imagine that if they did.
50,000-year-old chocolate. They had a lot of cavities.
Yeah. They found... They sequenced the DNA of the bacteria and the food that was in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And they found the DNA of woolly rhinoceros.
Wow.
Nuts. So they were eating rhinos in Europe, different species of humans.
Wow.
They also found wild sheep in their teeth and mushrooms. That's what the Belgian Neanderthals were eating.
That is incredible.
So it's a pretty good diet.
Yeah.
They were
presumably hunting these things. So, I mean, that would speak to their ability... As hunters and gatherers, getting the mushrooms.
Do all that.
The fact that they were eating the right mushrooms that weren't going to kill them.
Yeah, yeah. There's evidence of them having burials for their dead and creating jewelry. They're pretty much us. I don't seem wrong to poo-poo
One day them. We need to talk about, where that's split up and
Yeah, yeah, we will.
Why Homo sapien won. Yes. Anyway, so that's the Belgians. They didn't have chocolate.
No, the Spanish ones were almost completely vegetarian.
Wow.
They found pine nuts in their teeth, mushrooms, moss.
Moss?
Moss looks like you could eat it, but it would just be a crap meal. I ate grass one time, and what you don't realize with
just buffalo, just from the backyard, or?
I plucked it all and put it in a bowl.
Okay.
Like a human.
Come
on. Civilized. But I did, but what you don't realize is there's all these hairs on grass that point the other way, so yeah. Once you crush it up, you try and swallow it, and it just gets caught in your throat. It's horrendous.
Oh.
Anyway, that's a side story.
There you are.
I'm experimental. I don't take food for granted. And they also found tree bark in the teeth of these Spanish Neanderthals. So what's interesting is one of these Spanish Neanderthals had an abscess in his jaw. It was infected and mm-hmm. would have been very, very painful. Also had a gut parasite, which would have caused diarrhea and throwing up and all sorts of nasties. And they found...
this has all come from the tooth.
Yes, the plaque around the
teeth. Or the plaque on the tooth, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes,
so there's even tiny bits of remnant food still jammed between the teeth.
Mm.
And there's also the DNA of creatures in it. So, you know, you can get anything you eat is probably from a organic thing. So I said last week with popcorn, you can isolate the DNA of popcorn. You're like, right, that's corn.
Yeah.
So they isolate the DNA and they found that the tree bark that he was eating had salicylic acid, which is the active ingredient of aspirin. That he was in pain.
Medicating
by eating tree bark. And it also has penicillin mold in it. Just this guy. None of the other ones had it. So it seems like these animals, these humans, were out there in pain. And
that is incredible.
They knew their environment well enough so they could eat tree bark and solve their pain, which is nuts.
That is amazing.
Nuts, pine nuts. Yeah, and the bacterial communities on these two different populations, the Spanish and the Belgians, they had completely different communities of bacteria. So whatever you eat, you very quickly get a different community inside your mouth and you don't look like somebody else.
Mm.
That changes quick. But yeah, so you can learn a lot from plaques.
That is incredible.
That was a great story, that one. People should check it out if they get the time. Yeah,
absolutely. We'll make sure. We might actually even get the link from you and we'll put that on the 2SER website for that one. Well, Jesse Hawley, there we are. We twisted again. This Week in Science Shattered. Today. It's incredible. It blew my mind, mate. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, if someone wanted to hear a little more science news, where might they find a little more science news?
They can head to iTunes and subscribe to Adrian Meyer, my co-worker's new podcast called Interonauts.
How are you spelling that?
It's Interonauts, Interonauts.
And what does that mean? It sounds like a made-up word.
Indeed, it is a made-up word. In fact, when we started Googling it before it was done, zero results. That never happens on Google.
Yeah.
But it means the question sailors.
Yeah, right.
So we're exploring questions. So check it out on iTunes, subscribe, give us a listen.
Fantastic. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for coming in and teaching us a little bit of science.
That was a great time.